We're pleased to welcome our friend Greg Bell, who covers the team for the Tacoma News Tribune. Greg, let's see. Three things that you'll take away from the Seahawks' first preseason game. And hello.
Hello, Amy. How you been? It's been a while. Good to talk to you again.
You too.
The first is that Drew Locke, backup quarterback, Denver Broncos fans might remember he used to be a starter in this league, played for the first time in a year. He hadn't played since the last preseason game of 2022. Geno Smith took every snap last year. First went to the Pro Bowl for the first time, made his first playoff start. And Locke said it's the first time since he played football that he never took a snap in a season.
Wow.
But he played tonight and he threw two touchdown passes, two really sharp passes that basically won the game after they were down 10-0 to Minnesota. He did throw an interception where he just didn't see a safety over across the middle of the field. But he said it just felt great to play again. And that, yeah, he really wants to play. But he understands the situation here, and although he still really, really wants to play. And the second thing is the Seahawks defense, Amy, really subverted everything Smith and the offense did last year, and the Seahawks got to the playoffs despite their defense, especially their run defense. The run fits were better tonight with the reserves. Now, Bobby Wagner and Chinnan Nwosu and Quandre Diggs and Jamal Adams is still on the pup list. None of them played. It was only three starters on defense played. Only seven of the 22 starters on offense and defense played for Seattle. But their run fits are better. They were in the right places. They didn't always tackle, and they had a bad time tackling, especially early in the game. But it looked to me like the run fits are better, and after the game, the players said they were in the right positions more than they were last year. So that's an improvement for them. And the third thing, Amy, is now that I'm a father of two grown 20-year-olds, I really love these type of stories that after the game, Esau Winston, he's a fourth-year player, has bounced around practice squads in the league for a couple years. He caught his first touchdown pass in the NFL tonight. I mean, that was a preseason game. And after the game, he was carrying the ball around the locker room into the press conference and out of the press conference and into the parking lot. And I said, who are you going to give that to? And he said, his mom. And he said, you know, Renee Winston, his mother sacrificed so much for me to get to this moment. This is a really big deal for me. I think it's only right to give it to mom. And I said, well, hopefully you told her that already. You call her. He goes, no, I haven't told her yet. I'm going to call her right now. Just in a preseason game, a 24-year-old guy.
Yeah.
That's real stuff, and that's pretty cool.
Ooh, congratulations to Esau Winston. Welcome to the NFL. That's amazing. So, Greg, we saw, as you say, Drew Locke, which is cool. We sometimes forget about the plight of backup quarterbacks. And very often, and I would say usually I keep track of this, two-thirds of the NFL has to use multiple quarterbacks because of injuries or ineptitude. So it's rare that you get one QB who takes every snap over an entire season. But Geno needed that. The Seahawks needed that as they were making him the starter. How have you seen him grow from the point at which he took over to start last season to where they are now?
Geno Smith?
Yes.
Oh, he is so much more subtle. This time last year, Amy, he was trying to throw every pass perfectly. He was looking sideways at what Drew Locke was doing next to him in training camp practices. Everything was a competition, every throw, every drill at practice. Now he's the guy. They gave him a three-year, $105 million contract. And he is settled. And people ask me, what's the one difference and how would you describe Smith now? And I'd say settled. And after 10 years in the league and 7 years of sitting on benches for four different teams, he's finally got a team. He's finally made a Pro Bowl. He's finally played in the playoffs, started a playoff game. And he knows now not only is this his team, but he's done it for this team now. He's done it in the playoffs to get him to the playoffs. So much more comfortable, much more in command. And the players believe in him. I mean, they liked him last year, and they liked him for 3 years as Russell Wilson's backup, but they didn't believe in him because they never saw him have to play. And now they believe in him because he's done it. As I said, he did it despite a defense that really almost subverted the whole season. And so if the defense can improve, the Seahawks think they, by adding Jackson Smith and Jigba and Zach Charbonnet, a second-round pick, a running back from UCLA, they've got the weapons on offense, they think, to win if their defense can just hold up its bargain more than it did last year.
Pete Carroll has the same enthusiasm for preseason games.
You saw that.
Yeah, he cracks me up. I mean, it's amazing because, and I know we've talked about this in the past, he really is able to communicate with guys who are obviously a lot younger than him. He still has incredible energy, even as one of the oldest coaches in the NFL, and he genuinely finds joy in it. I mean, it blows me away. This guy never seems to run out of energy.
If he finishes his contract, he'll be the oldest coach in NFL history. He's past 75, past Coach Alice. He's 71 now. Amy, tonight, they were down 10-0 early, and then they came back and scored 24 of the next 27 points. And in the fourth quarter, he was jumping up and down, screaming, yelling, running onto the field, running down the sidelines on the last defensive stop. He ran about 50 yards down the sidelines on their last defensive stop with a minute and a half left of a preseason game on August 10th. And he said, it warms my heart, man, to see young guys that we give a chance to and featured and said, this is your game tonight to compete like that and come from behind and have the energy and the grit and all of that. Amy, one thing that I always think about Pete Carroll is when the Seahawks practice, and I'm talking practice in August, in October, November, December, January, every practice, they start with kickoffs and kickoff return. The special teams is the very first period, and while the rest of the guys are stretching or doing individual line drills. And Pete Carroll, every day, lines up at the goal line. And when they kick off, he runs from one goal line to the other, 100 yards.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he waits. Maybe they'll let him kick it back the other way, and he'll skip a turn. And then he'll run 100 yards back. And then he'll run 100 yards. He does about 10 100-yard sprints at 71 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Every practice. And the players see it, and he eats really well, and I don't even know what his latest diet is, kale and seaweed, I don't know what it is, but his youthfulness and enthusiasm really does infect the team, and it rubs off. The new guys who come in, the rookies, they can't believe it. They're like, well, we heard stories about this guy. We can't believe it. He's even more than we heard. It's crazy how enthusiastic he is. But, yeah, I definitely noticed tonight in a preseason – I mean, how many preseason games has he coached in, from the Patriots to the Jets to the Seahawks, that he's still doing that, running down sidelines, jumping on the backs of defensive players?
I have never heard that story before. He actually does gassers at the beginning of practice.
100 yards. Not 50 yards, not 40 yards, length of the kick. 100 yards, goal line to goal line, Amy. I see it. I watch it every day, and I just shake my head and I laugh at him. He kind of smiles, wipes his brow, and then goes in Air Monarchs and in khakis.
So he's actually running fast.
Well, he's 71. I mean, I might be able to take him to 53, and I'm not very fast. But I didn't say he ran fast. I said he runs.
As fast as he can go, though.
That's, breaks a sweat. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That is fantastic. I have never heard that before. Thank you for sharing that story. Greg Bell is with us from Seattle after the Seahawks open the preseason, covers the team for the Tacoma News Tribune. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, you mentioned the defense. What specifically about the D, right? They were porous. Where have they improved on that side of the ball?
Well, they at least have some guys now they think can in the front seven in particular, that they think can stop the run. They spent if the contracts max out, $124.5 million on defensive front seven players.
Whoa!
They went $51 million on Draymond Jones in the first day of free agency. The Seahawks never pay in the first day of free agency, and they have never, from the outside, signed someone for $51 million in the whole Carroll Schneider regime. They did that for 26-year-old Draymond Jones to be a defensive end, not just to rush the quarterback as he did in Denver, but to be a 3-4 run stopper. They brought Jaron Reed back, who they had drafted and had for 5-6 years. He had a year in Green Bay, a year in Kansas City. They re-signed him back, and they're going to make him a nose tackle, which he's never been before. He's been a 4-3 defensive tackle out by the guard and tackle. They're going to put him over the center. They drafted Mike Morris from Michigan, an edge rusher for the Wolverines that they're trying to make a big, stout, run-stopping defensive end. They're going to make Boye Mafe, who was a pass rusher at Minnesota, a run-stopping outside linebacker. They ask Uchenna Nwosu to get bigger and stronger. He was the leading sack guy at 9.5 sacks last year at outside linebacker. They're asking him to play the run more. It's all anyone on defense is talking about. And, oh, by the way, some guy named Bobby Wagner plays for this team now. And he's one of the best inside run-fit guys that the league has ever seen. yeah, he's 33, but he still knows where to go between the A, B, and C gaps when he has to stop the run and get other guys there too. So Jaren Reed's a big part of this. They need a nose tackle. They tried Al Woods for the last couple of years as a big 360-plus-pound nose tackle. Reed's only about 307. They want him to be quicker to beat the center off the snap. And they're also going to have him more head up on the center than shading into a gap and asking him to just control the middle, the center, and disrupt from there. So we'll see how it works. And, Amy, they're not going to know really, truly, if they're better at the line of scrimmage on defense until they play San Francisco.
Right.
We just steamrolled them three times last year, including in the playoffs. And they don't play the 49ers until Thanksgiving night here in Seattle and then 16 days later down in Santa Clara. So we may not know until Thanksgiving night and into December if this team got better, where it really has to be better against San Francisco at the line of scrimmage.
Is that a positive or a negative, Greg? Is it better that they don't have that benchmark against the best team in their division until that late in the season?
I think so. Barring injury, this system, the new players in it, the guys I just mentioned that are coming back, Bobby Wagner's never played in a 3-4 in Carroll's scheme. He was in a 4-3 for his illustrious decade in Seattle before he had that 1 year off with the Rams last year. So this is new to a lot of guys up front, and it's not going to work right away. Devin Witherspoon, their fifth pick in the draft, the cornerback, who they've moved inside the nickel because of his tackling ability here in the camp. He's got a hamstring injury, and they don't know when he's going to be coming back. Tariq Woolen is yet to practice since January because he had an arthroscopic knee surgery, and the Pro Bowl cornerback from last year hasn't practiced in camp yet either. So they may not be whole by the first game September 10th against the Rams defensively, and even if they are whole, they don't have everybody playing in the scheme and the run fitting and everything that Carroll wants them to do. They haven't done it yet for real. So it's going to take them a while, I think, defensively, and that's why Smith and Jigba and Kenneth Walker and DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are going to have to keep them afloat for, I think, the first part of the season. It'll help if they don't have to play the Niners till later.
Hmm. What has Bobby Wagner said about returning to Seattle after his 1 year sabbatical with L.A.?
He said this was always home to him, and he was always going to keep a home here anyway, even if he hadn't come back. He was surprised he came back because when he left, he thought it was done. He didn't leave on his own accord. The Seahawks cut him to save $16 million in salary cap space. They didn't even tell him. He found out from a third party instead of directly from Carroll or John Schneider, the GM, and that irked him. So he thought he was never coming back, and then the Rams did what the Rams did last year and completely imploded and didn't need a 33-year-old with a big contract in the middle of their defense.
Right.
And then when they let him go, he wanted to come back. The Seahawks wanted him back. They knew they could get him back on their terms, not a $16 million cap hit of last year. So they signed him for about $5.5 million just 1 year. But he's beloved in the community. He still has all the ties here and the philanthropy and the civic things that he does. And the players love him. I mean, to the young guys like Devin Bush, they signed from the Steelers this year, the rookies, Kobe Bryant, they Nickelback last year, Tariq Woolen, they say they're playing with a Hall of Famer, and they're probably right about that. And they revere him, and he's a teacher and an example setter, and he still gets to the facility at 5:45 in the morning, and all of that is still applying. It's the same thing it was 2 or 3 years ago before he left.
Greg Bell is with us from Seattle here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned the name Kenneth Walker had a phenomenal rookie season, even though he didn't play every game, missed a couple, but over 1,000 yards. How much balance do they want between the run game with Kenneth and then the passing game? And you mentioned a couple of the veterans that are still around Geno.
Well, Carroll wants to run the ball as much or more than anybody in the league. And that's why they drafted Zach Charbonneau in the second round from UCLA. It's why they drafted Kenny McIntosh in the seventh round from national champion Georgia. People are like, what are they drafting two running backs for when they have a 1,000-yard back coming back? Well, running backs, as we all know in the NFL, get injured a lot of times. And a lot of guys get hurt. The Seahawks run through them as much as anybody in the league. I remember a few years ago in 2016, the Seahawks had 18 different ball carriers in a game. Maybe. I mean, that's how many times they want to run, and that's how many times guys get hurt out here. So Kenneth Walker's hurt. He had a groin injury on the very first day of training camp and hasn't been on the field since July 26th. They don't know when he's coming back, but they think his groin's going to be okay for the opener. But it's a reminder of, hey, we don't need Kenneth Walker to touch it 20 times. He shouldn't have 300 carries. It's not a Derrick Henry situation, which is why they drafted Charbonneau. It's why they had DJ Dallas coming back. they are going to use a host of running backs. And Charbonnet is going to get a lot of touches. DJ Dallas will get his on third down because he's a good pass blocker. McIntosh has looked really good in training camp, and they're going to give him runs. It won't be a 25-carry guy with Kenneth Walker. He may not get a 1,200, 1,400-yard season just because they need to spread him out and use him for the longer haul.
When you think about what's happened in the offseason, the various moves made in the NFC West, what are your impressions in August of the division?
Well, that's full. Sometimes we're fully sharing, right? I mean, because of the injuries and how things change as soon as the quarterback gets hurt.
Right.
But if Brock Purdy is as healthy as it looks like he is already back in San Francisco, the 49ers are the favorites. And until I see the Seahawks absolutely transform on the offensive and defensive lines against San Francisco, they aren't beating the Niners. And if they're not beating the Niners, they're not winning the division. That means they're not going to have home playoff games. That means they're not going to the Super Bowl. So until I see Seattle against San Francisco, and if I see them improved under the line of scrimmage, it's still San Francisco's division. The Rams are pretty much starting over, albeit with still Matthew Stafford, a quarterback, and Arizona's completely starting over. From regime to coach to everybody but Kyler Murray, pretty much. So it is no longer, obviously, the most competitive division in the league. And I could see just two teams with a winning record again this year, and that means Seattle's in the running. But Seattle's going to have to be better again at the line of scrimmage and specifically stopping the run, because Kyle Shanahan and Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel and George Kittle are coming right at them until they prove they can stop them.
And their schedule is no joke, Greg. Not even just talking about the NFC West and the fact that those teams are so competitive, but they play the AFC North this year, which has got three teams, maybe four, we'll see, that have playoff aspirations. They also have a game at New York, and the Giants were a playoff team last year. In addition to that, they've got the Eagles and the Cowboys on their schedule. I mean, this is a tough schedule for the Seahawks.
It is, and always the travel when we're out here in Southeast Alaska, and it's 500,000 miles everywhere they go, and all of that plays into it. They don't have back-to-back East Coast games that they sometimes have had in the past. They don't have as many 10 a.m. starts as one in Detroit early in the season, and that's about it. So the schedule does have soft breaks there. They're home for later in the season. Their bye comes at a little bit earlier than they'd like, but still not super early. The schedule's opponents, yeah, they're going to have to play whoever they line up and have to play against. But it really is going to come down to those San Francisco games. Because if the division goes as it looks like it's going to, Seattle has to beat the Niners to win the division. And maybe splitting would help. But they can't get boat raced like they did last year. That's the biggest challenge. And that's been the theme of this entire camp. The way to not get boat raced by San Francisco is to be better at stopping the run and running the ball. Specifically stopping the run, and that's been the whole theme of the Seahawks offseason and preseason.
I was just saying on the show that as much as I do enjoy summer and a little slower pace and the kind of cool outdoor activities, man, there's just a different energy around the NFL, and even just hearing it in the preseason gets my juices flowing. So what about you? Are you ready for the long haul?
My wife asked me that. I've been doing this long enough that preseason games are like, okay. But, yeah, I'm back. I'm ready to go get back at it. It does get to be a grind, not just
it
for
does,
us
yes.
doing it on the side, but on the players, of course, in 18 games or 18 weeks, 17 games, and deep into January. But, yeah, let's do it. It's an amazing – I started this in 2000 covering the NFL and the Raiders, and to see how the interest – everyone was always interested in the NFL, but just the insatiable appetite for information about the NFL,
yes.
it grows almost by the week and the month. So that still kind of amazes me.
Yeah, and it doesn't go away. It really doesn't take a break. I mean, we were talking about it throughout the course of this offseason, that it's like the NFL has specifically planned league meetings or some type of event every single month, so we can't ever forget. Yeah, exactly. Made up. Yeah, it's made up.
it really is. There's free agency and the combine and league meetings and
yes.
then OTAs and minicamps and drafts in the draft run out. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Yeah, the off seasons have changed in the last 10 years, for sure.
Definitely have. Brilliant marketing strategy, though, because, as you say, the NFL really never goes away. All right, well, we're off and running. You can find Greg on Twitter at GBellSeattle, covers the Seahawks for the Tacoma News Tribune. He's got lots of various chapters to his past too, which I always enjoy seeing on your Twitter and looking at some of the photos. So we appreciate having you, especially after this first game. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Thanks, Amy. Appreciate it. Good talk to you again. Take care.